There's something about blood that some of us don't like. Now, I want to commend the medical personnel and those of you who give blood as a regular thing. You are a blessing to people. Keep on doing it. But I don't like a nosebleed, and I don't especially care to have individuals come and take blood out of my arm for medical purposes. Unlike the Jews of the Old Testament, we didn't need to bring an offering this morning. We didn't need to bring an animal to be sacrificed. But if you want an interesting thing, go back. You saw up this morning 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's a significant verse. But go back the early part of 2 Chronicles 7 and notice about Solomon's dedication to the temple. It's amazing. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7, King Solomon offered 22,000 oxen, cattle, and 120,000 sheep. Now think of all those animals. And they were there to be killed. Their blood was shed. I submit to you, I don't know how in the world they did it. I mean, whether they had a sufficient number of priests to handle, I don't know. There are a lot of things I don't know about it. But I submit to you, that must have been a horrible, terrible, bloody mess. Think of that. All those animals. And they were killed. Their blood was shed. That was God's plan. And this was Solomon's dedication to the God he loved before the women, before the wise turned his heart away from the Lord. But for us, our Lord Jesus died once on the cross, shedding his blood so that you and I could enter into a saving relationship with our holy God. Hallelujah! And it's only through the blood. And we constantly need to emphasize this. Earlier this year, I came across an interesting little article in Christianity Today. And this article said, if your church tends, now this was around Easter, if your church tends to use contemporary worship songs and leave hymns aside, on Good Friday you'll probably sing plenty about the cross, the death of Christ, salvation, grace, and related topics. But you're unlikely to sing about the blood of Christ. And it goes on to say, only eight of the top 100 songs licensed by Christian Copyright Licensing International even mention Jesus' blood, and none of the top 100 focuses on it. Contemporary music, of the 100 top ones, none of them focuses on the blood of Christ. Wait a minute, people. What's our message? If we don't emphasize the blood of Christ, we have nothing to offer. Pay attention to this next quote. This comes from a book by Frank Eichler entitled Experiencing God's Extravagance. Quote, it is no longer religiously fashionable to talk about the blood of Jesus. Even many evangelicals shy away from this term, too crude and unsophisticated for the modern age. And behind it all, Satan leers and cheers as professing Christians buy into his temptation to minimize the blood of the Lamb. Because the devil fears and trembles when faced with the power of Christ's shed blood. Again, hallelujah. The last part is, because the devil fears and trembles when faced with the power of Christ's blood. I want to invite your attention to the words from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning with verse 20, verse 21. That's my text. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace. Rather striking statement when we consider how much strife and alienation there is in society today. Take the family problems that we have. Some years ago, there was an obituary. Now, bear with me, but at my age, you do tend to read the obituaries. But this was some years back, and this obituary was somebody by the name of John K. Brenneman. I'm going to look at that. Now, it wasn't me, obviously, but here's the thing that was in it that is striking. Survived by a son, Kenneth, address unknown. Address unknown. What a tragedy in family life. Son gone. Address unknown. You can go on and on of the family difficulties, the lawsuits that keep lawyers well paid, murder and bloodshed. We're all struck by what we read about in the city of Lancaster on the people that are stabbed or shot and that kind of thing. Gang warfare. The horrible, horrible situation in Syria. The problems all around society. This kind of thing. Alienation in society. The fact of the God of peace, we can balance out. I could take you to Revelation 20, and where we see God's judgment coming. I won't turn to that. But God desires to make peace with sinful society. He's a God of peace. So the peace with God leads to the peace of God, where we have the God of peace living within us. And throughout the scriptures, we have this concept of peace used frequently. Romans 16:33, the God of peace. Romans 16:20, the God of peace. Philippians 4:9, the God of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace. And we sum this whole thing up by the word relationship. Relationship with God, the God of peace, through the blood. Through the blood. No other way. We move on to the second point. The God of power brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. This is the only place in the book of Hebrews where Christ's revelation is mentioned. But the reference here is to God's power in our lives. It happened back there. The empty tomb. Praise the Lord for that. But what is it doing in our lives today? There's tremendous dynamic here. The Son of God became victor over all the powers of the darkness of hell, the devil and all his demons. And again, hallelujah! Jesus is victor, and we sang, alive, alive, alive forevermore. And the result is that we are children of God by grace. Because we are the children of God by grace through faith, we cannot be the same. Our lives cannot be the same. And so it's summed up by the word ability. Through the blood and the glorious resurrection of our Savior, the God of power. Jesus, the great shepherd, verse 20. Now, this concept is foreign to us here in Lancaster County, foreign to our culture, but the shepherd has the responsibility of caring for the sheep. And so we have those wonderful words in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. words used in Handel's Messiah. In John 10:14, he's the good shepherd. He died for us. Here, he's the great shepherd who arose and conquered death. In 1 Peter 5:4, he's the chief shepherd who will come again. And so we sum this up in the word, by the word protection. And how desperately we need his protection. Body, soul, mind, spirit, relationships, family, finances. Jesus is the great and caring shepherd. And I don't know if we grasp that as much as we ought to, but let me touch on something. Be interesting. I won't ask for a share of hands, but be interesting. How many of you looked at this, which was in your mailbox several weeks back? And Irvin's been emphasizing this concept of the Touch of Christ Ministries. And I hope you didn't throw it away without reading it. And for those of you who leave your parents read the material, I hope you haven't done that. Let me say this. Young ladies, if you lived in another part of the world where there's a major religion that has a different view than Christianity, and if your family was poor, there might come into your existence, your situation, something like this. Here comes a man. He has some money or he has some animals and he pays a dowry. And this is a younger age than you. But he makes an agreement with your parents. And so you become his property. Not his loving wife, his property. Yeah, you become his wife, but you become his property. And then you get... you can be used as a toy, you can be abused, you can be hated, and you know where to turn. Million miles from what you figure as an ideal husband, right? Absolutely. But there's a tremendous tremendous contrast between the blessing we have as children of God, having Jesus as our great shepherd. Four, Jesus, the forgiving Savior, verse 20, through the blood. There's no other way to come to God. Do you and I really believe this? It's our part of our theology, it's part of what we say. But do we really believe you can't come to God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't be saved without the blood. I'm asking, do we really believe this? We say we do, but do we really believe it? Everlasting covenant, something, a covenant, something binding, solemn agreement, initiated, carried out by the eternal, always faithful God. It's everlasting compared to so much in our experience. Companies start, and some of them fail. Products come, and products go. You want to have an interesting experience sometime? This is an antique car museum. And look how many cars, kinds of cars, there used to be. They're not around anymore. They come and they go. Fortunes are made and fortunes disappear. It's just the way there's so much that is so much temporal compared to everlasting covenant. And so we rightly can sing, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. May I submit to you that the word forgiven is one of the most amazing, most wonderful words in the English language. Forgiven. 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 What's it mean? Our sins are gone forever. Our sins are gone that God himself doesn't remember them. Again, hallelujah. Sins are gone. It's only through the blood of Jesus. Only way, Jesus, the forgiving Savior. Jesus, the forgiving, Jesus, the equipping Master. Make you perfect. Charles Williams' translation puts it, perfectly fits you to do his will. The word perfect, I understand, has sort of a medical term, medical connotations. If you have unfortunately serious fall and you break an arm and the bone is partly sticking out over here, you got to get that thing together. You got to get it fit, or you're going to be handicapped for all the rest of your life. So you get that bone set. You got it put back in order. This is the concept of equipping. It's a word frequently used by Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:10, be perfectly joined together. 2 Corinthians 13:11, be perfect, implies a willingness on our part. We want to be effective. We want to make an impact on society. We have to be equipped by Jesus. And it's summed up by the word surrender. Surrender to the will of God. If we've met the Savior and our sins are forgiven, then we need to be equipped. Then we need to be fitted. We need to be prepared to serve him. And now I come to Jesus, the exalted Lord. And I'm going to put a little more time in on this because we can commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as Savior. But unless he is Lord, unless he is in absolute control, we're missing something. And I think we need to be very much concerned about this. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Does he have control of every area of our lives? He is Lord. He is Lord. Well, is he? Is he or isn't he? through Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, ultimately he alone will receive glory. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Some interesting verses there. Revelation 5, I'm going to read from verses 8 to 12. Talking about the Lord Jesus. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And that's an interesting concept, prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Praise the God for that. All different cultures and backgrounds. And thank the Lord for what was shared this morning about this situation in Turkey and the Middle East. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. That's future. What about now? That's forever and ever. We recognize human success is very fleeting. It's interesting. Once in a while, you'll read something of how somebody is training for the Olympics. I mean, their goal is to win the Olympics, and they will diligently, I mean tremendously diligently, work at that. Train and practice. What? They want to get the Olympic gold medal. And after they've gotten it, it's not too many years, somebody else comes along and gets the Olympic gold medal. Fleeting, very, very fleeting. I'm submitting to you that here and now, our redeemed lives must demonstrate the reality of Christ living in us. Here and now, our concept of the Lordship of Christ must be evident. How else is society going to know? How else will the message of Jesus penetrate society? See, lies are guided, our lives, when we're committed to the Lordship of Christ, our lives are guided by the Word and the will of God. Our lives should be running over with His redeeming grace. People ought to be able to say about Christians, they're the nicest people I ever met. Or might be like a little boy's prayer. Dear God, make all the bad people good and all the good people nice. Unfortunately, we don't all appear very nice sometimes. How does the Lordship of Christ work out in daily living? Years back, there was a tract published, and I think it's still in print. It was entitled, Others May, You Cannot. Others May, You Cannot. Let me read you just a little bit from it. If God has called you to be really like Jesus, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put upon you such demands of obedience that you will not be able to follow other people or measure yourself by other Christians. In many ways, he will seem to let other good people do things which he will not let you do. Others may, you cannot. Let me make this very practical, and I will share from Biblical Mennonite Alliance position and policy statement. We agree that in order to maintain a clear witness, the best application of the biblical requirements of long hair for the sisters is natural length. We also agree that the best application of the headship ordinance is for sisters to wear their veiling as a part of their regular attire. While a uniform style is not required across the alliance, we do expect a veiling or covering of substantial size. We believe Christian men should have short hair and unveiled head. We agree that the personal appearance of the true Christian believer must present a clear witness to biblical teaching in such matters as modest apparel, gender distinctions, and simplicity. We agree to refrain, not why? Lordship of Christ. We agree to refrain from all decorative jewelry, the wedding band, and any makeup that alters the natural appearance. I'm talking about how we try to apply biblical principles under the Lordship of Christ to daily life. How well we manage? How well do we measure up? How impacted are we by materialism and the American dream? The American dream, all the things you know. How are we impacted by that? How successful are we in our battle against immorality and pornography? How much of my life is a result of negative peer pressure? Do this, do this, do this. Come back, remember. Others may, you cannot. Negative peer pressure. Do this because everybody else is doing it. Can we be doing more to promote the gospel we profess? Here's an area that concerns me. I don't get here every Sunday, but I am concerned that I have not heard. I don't remember if I've, I haven't heard for you. I don't know when I heard last. But I haven't heard people mention Hakeem Brackbill and Eddie Zimmerman in their prayers. Now, for those of you who don't know, these are two young men who made some bad decisions and they're incarcerated. Why aren't we praying for Hakeem and Eddie? They need our prayers. They need our support. Why aren't we reaching out? When did you last write to one of these fellas? If they consider this their congregation, who else is going to support them if we don't? I'm saying, how do we promote the gospel we prefer, that we profess? Let me point out several practical areas. Sisters, I want to appeal to you today or tonight. Would you kindly get down on your knees and pray something like this? Lord, are you pleased with my covering? Or would you get greater honor if I changed to a larger style? Men, will you support your wife and your daughters if they feel led of the Holy Spirit to have a more consistent veiling than what they are? Will you support them? Will you honor them? Will you bless them. Men. How does the Lordship of Christ show when we support the Lancaster Barnstormers? I understand from the ads that there are times when you can get $2 beers there. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, people. We're commanded to come out from among them and be separate. It's bad enough when you get the beer sold in your grocery store. We don't have to go where beer is sold for entertainment purposes. I'm saying that we can find something more on the entertaining world than that. Through the blood, are we living there? Are we serving our Savior? Are we committed to Jesus as Savior and Lord? Through the blood, 'tis the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who in Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe in the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. So you remember the life songs too. Number 105, hallelujah, 'tis done. There's a part in that chorus for you and for me, and the theme of our praises forever will be, hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a Savior. Thank you for Jesus who died for us, who shed his blood that we might have life. Oh, Lord, help us as your children to demonstrate in a greater way, in a more effective way, the reality of your shed blood in our lives as we've accepted you as Savior and as we have accepted you and in a greater way accept you as Lord. Be exalted, be glorified. I pray now for my brothers and sisters across the globe who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, minister grace to them. Guard them from going back. Keep them in your love. Bless them and use them. And mightily flow through them with your Spirit so that souls today will be drawn to the Savior and find him. Guide our president, members of Congress, the courts, that in everything in our government, your will be done and your name be glorified. And now bless this congregation. Bless each person here that they might be more deeply committed to you so that Jesus will be glorified, for we pray it in his name. Amen.